Bishop Frank has been talking and writing for a while about the One. And if you've been wondering, what is the One and how is it actually going to appear and manifest and be concretized in our diocese, this is the show for you. Because today, Bishop Caggiano is outlining his 3-year plan to implement the One. And it's focused on beauty, truth, and goodness with many, many works and initiatives that are coming up starting this September. So keep your radio here to learn all about it. We're at 103.9 FM and 1350 AM, or we're on your phone with the Veritas mobile app. And a big thank you to our sponsor, Foundations in Faith. Foundations in Faith embraces innovative approaches to funding pastoral care programs in the Diocese of Bridgeport. Resources focus on energizing lifelong faith formation and discipleship and fostering a commitment to justice and accompaniment with our most vulnerable. From seminarians to retired priests, from baptism to last rites, from suburbs to inner cities, the reach is broad and the impact is meaningful. For more information, visit them on the web at foundationsinfaith.org. Okay, here we go. This is Let Me Be Frank on the Veritas Catholic Network. I'm Steve Lee, and it is my great pleasure, as always, to introduce Bishop Frank Caggiano.
Steve, good morning to you.
Hey,
on this dreary day that we're taping here, raining. Of course, it's my type of weather, but nonetheless. Yeah. So are you ready for Mother's Day? It's coming.
Yes. Yes,
Better stop thinking.
That's the same weekend as my son's graduation from college. So we're going to be out of town. But I do need to think about it.
Yeah, exactly. Remember, Father's Day is coming too. So what goes around comes around.
Nobody ever does anything for Father's Day in my house.
Okay, so what do you want to talk about?
The world is wide
falling
open.
Apart. Yeah, the world's falling apart is what it is. That's all the story. No, but I thought we would do today, spend some time talking about what's next. Meaning, now that we have the One and a lot of the work, the preliminary work that's being done, we have our Eucharistic diocesan renewal and the procession and all the celebrations for those 13 days, and we have our big Mass of Thanksgiving. What happens next?
Yes.
And believe it or not, there is a lot underway. And I thought maybe we could spend some time just talking through. One, because it's good for everyone to know what is being planned.
Yeah.
And secondly, to really gather input and suggestions and feedback from our listeners. And that's really part of the reason why I'm suggesting we do this, is because as they hear things, questions will arise. And we always value people's feedback. We want them to let us know what they're thinking. So I'm just offering it up that way. The key here is everything we're doing in the One, opportunities for encounter, creating communities, re-spiritualizing existing communities, it's all towards Eucharistic renewal. And we are planning 3 years, like what was being done on the national level. And so the way I see it, we have the golden opportunity to focus every year on one of the three transcendentals towards Eucharistic renewal.
Cool.
And the preliminary discussion that we've had, part of the Curia, is that from 2024 to 2025, that pastoral year, the focus is going to be on beauty. 2025 to 2026, it will be on truth. 2026 to 2027 would be on goodness. Now, there's two things that have to be said. Number one, there is no such thing of doing only one exclusively. The other two are always involved.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a question of what do you want to highlight? What do you want to direct people's reflection so that they can, it's like taking a picture. You start somewhere and then fill in the picture. So, and of course, beauty we're doing in part because of the, you know, it's the emphasis on adoration, on prayer, on liturgy, which is so intimately tied to the Eucharist. Yeah. So we thought that would be it.
Yeah.
So actually, there are three goals in year one that we came up with. That's number one, right? Provide opportunities to encounter Christ through beauty, supported by truth, goodness, and the accompaniment, right? So, but the emphasis on beauty. Number two is to really emphasize the re-spiritualization of our communities, because the Eucharist is the community of communities. It's the family of families. So if you want our churches, not you, but if we want our churches to be full, people active, people inspired, people transformed, then the Eucharist is the spiritual food to do that. It's the receiving of the grace. It's the mission to go out into the world. But you need communities that are going to be part of the fabric of your life, whether that's your family or your ecclesial families, so that you sustain the other 6 days.
Yes.
And the fire is not lit on Sunday and then goes out, right? It's got to keep growing. So that's number two. And the third is that just like national revival, we need to focus in on leadership and the formation of leadership in all the elements of the one, as well as Eucharistic theology and spirituality. And when we say leadership, I'm talking about leadership. I'm talking about clergy. I'm talking about parish leadership. And I'm talking about parents who exercise unique leadership, right? All three. So those are the overall goals. You imagine next year? Now, I have 6 pages written out in front of me on how we're going to actually accomplish those goals. This could be 7 podcasts, right?
Wow.
There are 6 pages. Right? But let's talk about goal number one. Goal number one has 4 objectives to it. It's that detailed.
Wow.
And if you're going to provide opportunities to encounter Christ through beauty, and then supported by truth, supported by goodness. So it's actually 4 objectives. Start with the one. The very first thing is we want to foster Eucharistic adoration and devotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, St. John Vianney used to say, right, he wrote that he went and stopped in church because he was looking at Jesus, Jesus looking back at him. Eucharistic adoration is a privileged moment where people learn many things. They encounter Christ for who he really is, under the veil of what looks like bread. It's really Christ. So to spend time with Christ, they can be, I mean, what is more important in my mind? You relearn silence in a world that's filled with noise, distraction, and nonsense. You also can create relationships. Because those who attend Eucharistic adoration, if they do it at the same time every week, will begin to form relationships with those with whom they share the hour or 2 hours that they're sitting there in prayer and adoration. Remember, adoration is silencio. Adoration is to sit in quiet and allow the Lord to speak. So it teaches you how to pray, one of the fundamentals of prayer. So my goal is to unveil perpetual Eucharistic adoration in every deanery in the diocese. To my count, it already exists in 5.
Wow.
And if I were to ask you, Steve, as a member of our diocese, do you know where the 5 are? Chances are the answer would be?
I don't think most people do. I know where a few of them are.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even know where they all were, to be honest. And you would think the bishop would know, right? Because pastors have, to their credit, taken on the initiative.
Yeah.
But they've kept it in their parish.
Yeah.
But I want to open it up and say, okay, so St. Mary's in Richfield, St. Teresa's in Trumbull, they have Eucharistic, St. Pius in Fairfield, they have adoration. So why not? And these pastors, I'm sure anybody should come. Everybody should come. Whoever wants to come, come.
Yes.
So we want to establish it in all 9 deaneries, and we want everyone to know this is available to all of you at any time. Just that alone is tremendous. That's number one. Number two is the Eucharistic miracles exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about this before, but now what we're going to do is we are going to allow the exhibit, make available what we have, to visit every parish in the diocese. And we're going to start with 35 parishes in this coming year.
Wow.
Now, the reason we're only going to do 35 is because the exhibit is going to come for 2 weekends. And then in between, have an opportunity to hear some talks and reflections on the nature of the miracles. So that will begin to leaven seed, right, in people's minds and hearts and in all our schools. And I think I mentioned the fact that we want to have a permanent exhibit.
Yeah.
Right. So we're working on that. The other is we're going to create the Guild of the Blessed Sacrament. And I'm going to announce that on June 1st. Actually, I guess I'm announcing it now, but I'm going to formally announce it on June 1st. Okay. Now, what's the Guild of the Blessed, of the Most Blessed Sacrament? Well, we've spoken about the St. Luke Guild. We've spoken about the St. Paul Guild. The Guild is an association of the faithful. In this case, it would be clergy and faithful who come together for a particular spiritual work. In this case, devotion to the Eucharist, commitment to adoration, and to develop Eucharistic spirituality.
Yeah.
This guild is going to take the place of the confraternities that were created before COVID for priests and deacons. They will be suppressed and will have one guild, track for priests, track for deacons, track for lay people. And the promises made would be different because the availability of time is different. I want to unveil that June 1st, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people already involved in Eucharistic adoration as part of. So the first group I'm going to ask is for them to consider coming into the guild. They agree to pray the guild prayer every day. Mm-hmm. They continue to do Eucharistic adoration. And then once a year, we would come together for a day of retreat centered around the Eucharist. Mm. And everyone in the guild in all three tracks would come together to pray together in Eucharist at celebration of the sacrifice of the Mass, to come together and to pray for one another and their intentions. So we could, please God, already begin with a good amount of people, and then I want them to be the missionaries for others.
Awesome.
So that's just one part. That's Eucharist adoration. Second is the Sacred Heart Guild. And the Sacred Heart Guild obviously has many things already underway. I want to seed those in other parts of the diocese. Father Clark, who's doing a great job, and I are in this conversation of creating hubs and spokes, mm-hmm. meaning that there would be parishes that would kind of be collaborators with the guild in different geographies so that their art school for children, their heart-to-heart gatherings, which is adoration, contemporary music, and confession. We would seed it so that geographically people don't have to go all the way to Georgetown. They could go and experience these on a regular basis. And also we want to debut the Guild's Girls Choir.
Yes.
Right? So that they would come to the acid events, and then eventually, please God, we create a voice choir. So another interesting thing that I'm going to ask is that a series of workshops be given, myself included, will attend, on training clergy how to chant correctly. Right? Both Gregorian chant, as in Latin, but also to teach clergy how to chant the prayers in English, because there is a method to it.
Yes.
And I don't know what that method is, to be very honest. I kind of make it up as I go along. Mm. And sometimes it comes out okay, and sometimes it's terrible. Right? But if you want to enhance prayer at the liturgy,
yeah,
it's no different than the third under here, which is the St. Jerome Center for Preaching and Biblical Studies. We talked about that. So yeah. Now there is a structure to it. So the priest will have intensive preparation, 8 days in Rome, at the hands of the master preachers of the Dominicans, to have follow-up when they come back, to make preaching, which is an art, to unlock the power of that art for the sake of the Word of God. All expenses paid by donors. I'm going to that. because I think everybody needs to improve their preaching. Everybody, myself included. And the deacons would have a stateside experience. And the biblical studies, we want to inaugurate in 6 parishes with the goal that in within 3 years, it'll be offered, if not in every parish, in almost all the parishes of the diocese. Same night, every week, you could have, please God, thousands of people praying and studying over the scriptures. Imagine what that would look like in our diocese.
Yeah. Awesome.
Then we're going to, in the fall, announce another guild. And we're going to call it the Morning Star Guild. Now, who do you think the Morning Star Guild is about?
Our Lady.
Of course. Of course. Of course. And, you know, we were hoping to do it differently, like in June, but I think we really should wait till September. Because in some sense, again, there are people who have tremendous devotion to Our Lady. Think of all the people who stay after weekday masses praying the rosary.
Yeah.
They are the natural individuals to go into the guild because now suddenly they're not just small little communities. They're small little communities connected to a much larger community. And the larger community gathering together once a year gives such tremendous strength. And remember, the father of evil is the great divider.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is the great uniter. More things. More. Just under this. So, the Carmelite Monastery. We have to let everyone in the diocese know that we have this Carmelite Monastery of the ancient order of the Carmelites who are there praying for us. Alert people to their vespers and to their masses, which they attend behind the screen, but which they chant in English, but they chant. And invite people to come, because even just coming to those are a moment of grace and a moment of encounter.
They're in Fairfield, right, Excellency? St. Emery's?
Yeah, they're at St. Emery's.
Yeah.
And we have 2 Third Order Carmelite communities in this diocese to highlight their presence and their work.
Yes.
And invite other communities to form Third Order Carmelites by chapters around the diocese.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're also going to inaugurate an annual diocesan pilgrimage. And the diocesan pilgrimage need not be abroad. Because, I mean, honestly, with inflation, prices, financial concerns, to ask a person to, you know, spend $3,000 on a pilgrimage, there are some who can, a lot cannot.
Right.
Or if you have young children, how would you possibly do that?
Right.
But we could have, for example, a day trip. A day pilgrimage to the Basilica, the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, one of the most beautiful churches in North America.
Yeah. Awesome.
And have a pilgrimage, talks, prayer, rosary, mass, procession, and come home. And you sleep on the bus driving back to Connecticut. Right? Or to go to the Divine Mercy Shrine or the Shrine for Padre Pio and so many other places. You see what I mean? Or the North American Martyrs. All within driving distance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
So that's part of what is going to be unfolding. We're going to announce the first of the diocesan pilgrimages in the fall, which will probably be in the spring of 25.
Okay.
All right. So what about, so if that's the focus, then how does truth support that? Well, we've talked about the St. Paul Guild already, and now we're going to give people the tools for evangelization and how the members would be at my disposal for diocesan mission, wherever that may be. That's the ambassador program. But I just wanted to talk up a bit the Bishop's Lecture Series. So the Bishop's Lecture Series are 4 lectures a year, 1 in every season of the year, where important topics are raised for conversation, for both presentation and conversation. So Father Clark gave the first on architecture and beauty. That was at All Saints School. And about, I'm guessing, about 180, 200 people came.
Wow.
Right? I'm giving the second one on May 15th at Greenwich Catholic, right, in Greenwich. And it's on the Eucharist because that is the opening salvo for the Eucharistic renewal.
Yes.
So it's like blowing the bugle. This is where we're going, ladies and gentlemen. So that's May 15th.
Yeah.
And then we have two other lectures that are going to occur in September and in November of individuals that I will that came on our podcast. Right? Did I tell you this already, Steve? I don't remember if
no,
I told you that.
I know you talked to some of our guests about doing this potentially in the future.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm anxious to hear who it is.
Right. Do you remember Dr. Williams? She came to talk about habits. The name of her book.
Subversive Habits.
Subversive Habits.
Yes.
She was brilliant.
Yes.
She is coming to give the talk in September.
Awesome.
Now, of course, the places I don't remember off the top of my head. I didn't print that. I should have, but I didn't. So, but I mean, even to our way, well, there'll be plenty of opportunity because it's September. It's early.
Yes.
Plus, I have to write my talk first. But I mean, I don't have time to do that. And then, do you remember the guest we had, English expert in literature? All right. Do you remember who it was?
Yes, Joseph Pierce.
He is coming to give the talk in November.
So good.
And it's going to be on literature. So if you listen to the podcast and say, that was great, you have an opportunity now to come in person and meet them and talk with them and have some conversation. I think it's just tremendous.
Yeah.
And then another former guest. So you're seeing a lot of these lectures, my friend. The president of Catholic University.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Kilpatrick.
Dr. Kilpatrick's coming in January to talk about Catholic higher education.
That's great.
And then we're lining up the rest for the rest of 2025. And these are for adults to engage them in a really serious way in aspects of our faith as it's applied, as it's lived in life. Hmm. These are great. And then, of course, they're all taped. They'll be taped with the permission of the speakers so that people go on the website who can't come and still. So, again, truth in service of Eucharistic renewal.
Great.
And then we have apologetics that we're going to unveil starting in the fall. All our Catholic high schools are getting a curriculum of apologetics for all our Catholic high school students.
Awesome.
We are going to create, it's only in concept now, but we will create an apologetic series for adults. And I'm not sure what form that will take. I'm going to gauge the attendance at the Bishop's Lecture Series over the next few, because my heart tells me those apologetic courses should be in person.
Hmm.
Because adults learn best, not by being spoken to, but being presented with some basic material and have them struggle with it with each other in conversation.
Yeah, great.
Right? Mm-hmm. You got to struggle with it to get it. When the light bulb goes off, this makes sense, right?
Yep.
And I think the time has come to empower, starting with our parents. Because when their teenage kids come home, that the young people come home with questions, a parent should be able to have an answer already that makes sense to them first before it attempts to make sense to their young person. And I think a lot of parents have not had the opportunity to struggle with these questions, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we spoke about gender and the gender theory. So there is a whole formation program that's going to be rolled out in the fall for parents. And that will all be new.
Awesome.
So with JP2 Communication Center as the vehicle of which Veritas is a collaborator,
yes.
Then we have a means to disseminate the information. We have these basic opportunities. And of course, we have LEAD online, which anybody could join. And there's literally at this point, thousands of videos exploring different aspects of the faith.
It's great. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Oh,
and we're only on page two. We got four more to go.
It's funny because when we started off the show, You were like, oh, I have these ideas. And so I thought it was just going to be vague ideas, but this is like a detailed, like really well thought out plan.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know, I don't deal in generalities.
Yeah,
my
brain
doesn't operate. Nope. Nope. Do we have time for one more?
We've got about a minute. Do you want to?
Yeah, let's wait after the. Oh yeah, I could tease it up. It's goodness. Yeah. So this is like a commercial. So in the work of goodness towards the Eucharistic renewal, there are four things that we're hoping to do. We want to create the Assisi Center for Ecological Stewardship. We want to disseminate adult wellness programs throughout the diocese. We want to give birth to the Diocesan Life Center. And we want to recreate these Catholic Service Corps by creating a guild that's intergenerational for service based on the virtues that are given to us through the gospel.
All right. So we're going to find out more about that on the other side of the break. This is Let Me Be Frank on the Veritas Catholic Network, and we will be right back.
If you're concerned about your end-of-life plans, searching for a Catholic cemetery, or have loved ones who are buried in one of the 14 Catholic cemeteries throughout Fairfield County, now might be a good time to begin planning for yourself or for other family members. Call one of our family advisors at 203-742-1450 and select option 5 to leave a message, or visit www.ctcemeteries.org. Many people don't realize that they can be buried with their deceased loved ones, even if all of the family's in-ground plots have been taken. The Diocese of Bridgeport Catholic Cemeteries provides in-ground burials, as well as columbarium and mausoleum options. This makes it possible to unite your family together in the same cemetery, and it's an opportunity to build a bridge for your family back to the church. Talking about this issue is not easy, but pre-need planning makes your wishes clear, reduces cost, and helps your family avoid difficult decisions at a time of grief and loss. You can start your planning now by contacting one of our family advisors at 203-742-1450 and select option 5, or visit www.ctcemeteries.org. We can guide you through the options, regulations, and considerations to help you make the best decisions for your family. The number is 203-742-1450 and select option 5, or visit www.ctcemeteries.org.
Okay, welcome back to Let Me Be Frank on the Veritas Catholic Network. Okay, so two down and goodness is up.
Goodness up. So yeah, let's talk about the Assisi Center, Ecological Stewardship. Really, as we've said many times, it's a fundamental principle of Catholic social teaching, right? Stewardship of creation. And the truth of the matter is, I see this as a unique place where young adults can be given the free rein to say, make your contribution to the life of the church. Not simply because you're inheriting this world after people my age have gone to Jesus. But the truth is, we don't have much of an organized ministry. So instead of trying to fit them into existing ministries, say, this is what I want. I mean, this is your energy. Use your creativity. Use your imagination. Use your drive. Make the commitment and create this for the good of the church. I think it has just such potential evangelical out. Because again, when you begin to understand ecological stewardship as a mandate of Catholic social teaching, it is inevitable that you will then go to the other pillars of Catholic social teaching. And once you do that, then you're on the threshold of understanding the gospel.
Hmm.
So you get one foot in, and eventually the whole body is in.
Right.
So that's one. Adult wellness. You know, there's a phenomenal program at St. Aloysius about adult wellness. Because again, wellness involving body, mind, and spirit, because life is a gift and we have to cherish it and protect it and nurture it. And the hope would be that that could be seeded elsewhere. There are other examples of it. So that people take seriously, you know, what they eat, how they conduct themselves, how they rest, how they recreate, all in service of the Lord Jesus, not just to look good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Also, the Diocesan Life Center, in my mind, is extraordinarily important because there is so much disagreement, ambiguity, confusion on the message of life. And we talked about that. Remember in the document on that the Vatican issued?
Yes.
I'm talking about all of life. So certainly, fundamentally, the right to be born, right? And right. The abhorrent evil of abortion and euthanasia. The right to die a natural death, and everything else in between.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, the Guild for Service. Our listeners may remember the Catholic Service Corps, which I gave birth to, which was for young people to get involved. But same idea. And COVID undid that. And also the difficulty to get it off the ground in some places. But the truth is, what has changed in my mind is that it's not just for young people. It's for all people.
Mm.
So when we give birth to the Guild, which is in the concept stage now, I want it to be family-based. I would like parents and their children and their young people to work together in service.
Yeah.
I would like elderly and young people to work side by side. I think that's how you pass on the faith, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And again, it doesn't have to start with a million people. But once it starts, I think it's going to take a life of its own.
Yeah.
Maybe?
I love that change that you're making. There's so much that young people gain from being with older people.
Without a doubt.
And
without a doubt.
Yeah.
They are the primary catechists in family structures now. The older... the grandparents, they are the primary. And why is that? It's not because parents are failing in what they're doing, but how many parents are both working and some have more than one job just to pay their bills?
Yeah.
How many parents, for the best of intentions, have involved their young people in so many activities that are good for them that I didn't have, for example? They weren't, didn't even exist, have this stuff when I was young. How many of the parents were not given the opportunity to really learn their faith? So the generation that's my age, we were on the cusp when we did have that. So now we have both the knowledge, experience, and the time to be able to spend it. And therefore, it's a great gift.
Yeah.
And young people resonate. It's interesting, right? They resonate with older people in a different way than they resonate with their parents.
Amen.
And they listen differently.
Yeah.
And if all the individuals are comfortable telling the stories of their life in their faith, not because they're drawing attention to themselves, but young people who hear those stories begin to understand context they didn't know before and begin to see faith as not just a catechetical theoretical reality.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There's even on a really, really basic level, Excellency, at least from what I've seen, it's like when young people spend time with older people,
even?
They start to see older people just in a different way in general, you know? And it's not like, oh, there's that old guy or there's that old lady. It's like they come to really appreciate, I don't know how to put it, but.
They honor their history. They honor that which they went through.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, we had a deacon who we've spoken about, Deacon Joe, God rest his soul, who was part of Normandy.
Wow.
He died a few years ago. The first time I met him and he told me the stories, I was just mesmerized, fascinated. I mean, it's just, there's no other way to describe it. And because of the heroism, he was a young man, but he believed in his country. He believed in the cause. And it just in my own mind, even to this day, it's like I knew I was standing in the presence of a real hero, honest to God hero. So how could you not take what he said seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. And Pope Francis talks about, you know, the throwaway culture that we have. And so you can no longer look at an old person and say, they're dying, they're old, you know, whatever. It's like, no, I really see the value in this person, you know?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. So in that sense, an intergenerational guild for service allows the space for the stories.
Yes.
And there are still people alive who, as you're making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for, I don't know who, for, you know, someone who's homeless, can tell the stories of growing up post-depression.
Yeah.
And how, you know, they would have one bowl of soup for the whole family. And if I said it, that I think people did is one thing, but if I actually lived it.
Right.
See, that's.
Yep.
That, so anyway, cool. So that's under the good. And then the other piece to this puzzle, still the first goal, we're still on the first goal, is cracking this nut. And again, I would be a liar if I said this was worked out completely. It's not. We've talked about it. And that is, how do we create the circumstances by which we can accompany people in moments of suffering and make those moments of encountering the love and mercy of Jesus Christ? That is absolutely critical.
Yeah.
I have some ideas. I perhaps shouldn't say them here, but I will anyway. We have, for example, an excellent bereavement ministry offered by Catholic cemeteries.
Yeah.
Dean spoke about it, remember?
Yes.
Right? Every parish should be connected into that.
Yeah. Yep.
Every parish has ministries of extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion. Mm-hmm. How many of them, though, have those ministers who are willing, able, and trained to be able to accompany people who are elderly, frail, sick, or dying?
Yeah.
On a regular basis. And not always to bring Holy Communion. It's to bring companionship and fellowship. Mm-hmm. If my son needed help with addiction, where do I go to provide the services that are faithful to the gospel and not just medicate him? Mm-hmm. We have to answer that question. We have to create, at least in every deanery, some sort of parish referral, counseling referral service that says, you know what, if you're in need, these are the people who are available to reach out.
Yeah.
That could transform an entire person's life of faith. Same with the schools. Our superintendent is doing tremendous work in providing counseling services and to expand those. So that piece of this is still being formed. Anybody who's a listener who has a concrete idea, send it in. I think this is that if we get this part right, then it's the difference between strengthening the church we have, which is extremely important, or dramatically growing the church in strength, in numbers. This is the difference between those two. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot.
And of course, it'll spill into year two, year three. I mean, it's not that everything's got to get done next year, but I'd like to keep the goals out there so that people understand that this is what we're striving to do and what we're committed to do.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Then we go on to accompaniment. I have two pages of that here. I'm not going to do all of them because people say they're going to turn this off because this guy's out of his mind. And just to give you the highlights, and then we'll pause for station identification. Right? Right. the seat ministry projects, there will be five. Danbury, Bridgeport, Fairfield, Norwalk, and Stratford. All different, fostering regional collaboration to accompany parishes, accompany each other. Mm-hmm. And this time around, there will be orientation for the people of the parishes, for the staff, and for the recipients or whatever the ministry is. Down the road, creation of guilds for catechists, teachers, including public school teachers.
Great.
Lawyers mm-hmm. on the horizon. To accompany young adults and young people, five events are planned next year. One for college kids in August. One for teenagers, high schoolers, in September. One for young adults in October. One prayer experience in Lent that brings all three groups together. And for my vote, it's still being worked on. My vote is a living reenactment of the Passion. Like a living Stations of the Cross.
Yeah.
And then we have an actual day of prayer and reflection and retreat for everybody come together in their own separate camps.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the annual men's conference.
Yes.
We're inaugurating our own Diocesan Men's Conference. We also want to support what the Knights are doing with their core initiative.
Yeah.
We also have the intervention team to create men's ministries in different parishes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We're going to give birth to accompaniment of parents. We have the First Witnesses program, the mentoring program that is being launched by the Institute of Catholic Formation.
Wow.
We'll just stop there. I mean, just, it's like everything else. There's no huge initiative, but all these initiatives, when you start putting them all together, putting them out there, you begin to see how they feed on each other. We're going to hit a point where it all clicks.
Yeah. So this part in particular with the CZ Center and adult wellness, accompanying people in suffering and the counseling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be looking for professionals in these areas who can help?
Mm-hmm. Or how- Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're there.
Yeah.
They're there. I mean, I wonder to myself how many good, faithful Catholics coming to Mass every Sunday are psychologists, are counselors,
mm-hmm.
and do it in public schools, other secular institutions, who can also make themselves available in a faith-based reality for people to say, I can help you. Well, let's start connecting the dots.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't want, and this is not a judgment, it's an observation. You don't want to help one thing and hurt another, meaning you don't want to help anyone with a challenge or problem in their addiction, but on the other hand, exclude the spiritual life because the spiritual life is part of the solution, in which case you're only partially helping them.
Right. Yeah.
Right. This is a lot of work. I love it. I love it. I just absolutely love it.
Yeah.
If we do, oh my gosh, I go to bed every night. I say, Blessed Lady, I have to live long enough to see some of this off the ground. Right? Because it's especially the accompaniment to suffering.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So you get the diagnosis of cancer. Then what happens? Where could you go to? You tell your family, and they, of course, deeply worried. They're going to accompany you in the journey of suffering. But are they equipped to accompany you spiritually?
Right. Yep.
Or the loss of someone. Mental health. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, the struggles of trying to be a good lawyer in a world where Christian faith may not necessarily be the prime motive of your law firm.
Yeah.
For that matter, like St. Luke's with a doctor.
Yeah.
this will take years to truly root, but then we're creating a network that for which there'll be a place for everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're starting 2024 to 2025 is going to be beauty.
Nothing.
So we're in 2024 now, Excellency.
So it's September. It's the pastoral year.
Okay.
It's our pastoral year. So think of it from September to the summer, September to the summer, September to the summer.
Okay.
This was all, the first 18 months was just talking about it, getting people to understand the concept, starting to put the structure in place, the infrastructure, and launch what the destination is. Then we start cooking.
This is the concrete manifestation of the one.
Exactly. For year one. Well said. Yep. The other thing, too, I'm excited about is we want to pilot a new form of chaplaincy. And it's going to be in our elementary schools. It'll be in one of our schools as a pilot. And what it is a chaplain who is there not principally for the students. It's principally there for the parents.
Oh.
Right, to be able to offer them opportunities of truth, beauty, and goodness, to foster small communities that could accompany them.
Yeah.
So that they could grow in their life of faith. Because the local clergy takes care of the children. And it's not to say the chaplain would ignore them, but the principal is the group that no one quite seemingly has the time or the resources to address, which are the parents.
Right. So that would be somebody different from the chaplain for the kids. Would it be a priest?
Yeah, the hope would be a priest or a deacon for sure.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. And that's uncharted territory.
Yeah.
We have men's ministry, Steve. We have men's ministry for parishes. Could you imagine if you had men's ministry for schools?
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So that actually is really interesting because schools, the families at schools don't necessarily all belong to that parish.
Correct. Correct. And they could go back to their parishes. Because if the pastors and clergy of the parishes are involved, there's a connection.
Yeah.
Right? And let's say, for example, you create a walking with purpose for the mothers.
Right.
Well, when a young person graduates, I presume they're not going to move, but the parish should have, like, there would be a transition. There could easily be a transition.
Yeah. Right? I really love this idea because also you have a lot of families who send their kids to Catholic schools for one reason or another who don't actively participate
Correct.
In the life
Correct.
Of the parish.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So what is being done is this, I think, in part. There is a basic intuition that says, because I love my child, this is an important part of their life. But I have not yet found its importance in my life. But I know it's important, and I know I want it for them, and we have to help them to go the next step. Mm-hmm. And make it a part of their life as well. Mm-hmm. And then everything falls into place.
Yeah. That's great.
And you need to deal with them as adults. You need to deal with them in the concrete positions they find themselves.
Yeah.
And as I tell a lot of times the clergy, is that we do it from a position where we don't start with the judgment of what should be, but we accompany what is mm-hmm. to what should be. Mm-hmm. Because if we get involved with, well, you should be doing, you should be doing, you should be doing, if they don't understand why they should be doing it, then you're wasting your breath. Help them to understand why it's important in their own life, and then to give it to their children is easy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, so the more we talk about it, the more I like this idea, because even at the high school where my kids are, we're surrounded by families who I really look up to in the faith. Mm-hmm. And I would love opportunities to spend more time and to grow alongside them. Oh. Do you think you'll start in the high schools or the elementary schools?
No, elementary schools.
Yeah.
We'll start in the elementary schools.
Yep.
Okay. And see how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, like everything else, the one challenges us to see success in a totally different way. So let's say, for example, you have a men's group. So I'm making this up. This is all stereotypical, all right? Cigars, bourbon, and Jesus. You put them all together and you have 10 guys get together.
Sorry, where do I sign up for that, XLC?
But let's say I'm making that up.
Yeah.
And you got 8 fathers there.
Yeah.
In my mind, if that helps them to grow in faith, that is a stupendous success. Would we want 80? Sure.
Yeah.
Love it. You have 8, you start somewhere. What, so?
Yep.
Jesus defines the success.
Mm-hmm. And that'll start in September too, or?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
We're going to start the pilot in September.
Cool.
So this just gives everybody a glimpse that, you know, for too long we've been talking about theory. And that's lovely. But I think in the end, we have to start concretizing it. And these are some of the ideas of the first attempt to really concretize these things in a systematic way. And if my intuition is correct, I think it will bear great fruit very quickly. Very quickly.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I love it. And yeah. And it gives, I mean, exactly what you said, it gives people a concrete understanding of what the one is and how it's really designed to transform the diocese through individuals.
And without doubt. Yeah. And if I may, to tip my own hand, what are the signs of success for this 5 years from now? We've talked about mass attendance, but there are other criteria in my mind, such as the number of celebrations of the sacrament of marriage begin to go up, not down.
Yeah.
Okay. The number of women and men who say yes to consecrated life.
Yeah.
Continues to go up, or say yes to priesthood, the men who say yes to priesthood. You know, those are, in my mind, the real fruits of a renewal.
Mm-hmm.
How many adults enter into the church in conversion and stay involved in the life of the church?
Yeah.
Every?
Well, and then, I mean, it's thinking on a grand scale, but what truly happens is as people are transformed and families are transformed and parishes and communities, then the culture becomes transformed.
Amen. That's how we started. Remember?
Yeah.
I talked about culture.
Yeah.
So now suddenly it's not just going 1 hour a day or 1 hour a week to hear a homily that is a little island in a sea of secularism, but you have an actual alternative culture that affects my family life, my vocation, my profession, my understanding of faith, my prayer, the community I belong to, and my worship. Now, suddenly there is a real alternative, another culture.
Yes. Yep. Awesome. Okay.
Yep.
So we'll take one more break and be back with a listener question. This is Let Me Be Frank on the Veritas Catholic Network, and be right back.
My name is Sherry Ann Andapa, and I'm a regular Veritas listener. Knowing what I've learned over the years by listening to the amazing shows on Veritas, I feel called to help make sure the great programming can continue. You can help too by joining us on May 23rd at a live audience interview with His Eminence Timothy Cardinal Dolan at the Italian Center in Stamford, Connecticut. Cardinal Dolan will be interviewed by Father Sam at the Tangent. This will be an amazing night hosted by CNBC's Dominic Chu and kicked off by our very own Bishop Caggiano. Please come and mingle with our special guests over cocktails and appetizers. This will be a wonderful evening highlighting our Catholic faith, great food, drink, and fellowship. Again, the event is Thursday, May 23rd in Stamford. For more information, go to veritascatholic.com and click on events.
Okay, welcome back to Let Me Be Frank with Bishop Frank Caggiano. Okay, so this question came in from somebody who said that they were watching your Chrism Mass online. And let's see. It says, what kind of oil is used for the Chrism Mass and baptisms?
So the oil is olive oil, right? The fruit of the olive. And all three are olive oil, and chrism also has the fragrance added to it. That is the bottle that's added in to make it fragrant.
Mm-hmm. What is that fragrance? Do you know?
What is it exactly? I don't know, to be honest. I could find out, but I kind of liken it to the woman who broke the alabaster jar in the Gospels, and the fragrance, it's like a nard, an aromatic nard that goes in and perfumes, right?
So, go ahead.
No, it's just thinking, because like perfumes, how do you make a perfume? Like commercially, don't they put like some essence or some same, I think it's the same idea.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. You get that on I got it on my hands.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, it smelt for days. Yeah.
So it's just regular olive oil.
Yes. Yes. That's blessed. And consecrated.
And then the chrism oil then is used throughout the year for
the sacraments that impart character. Baptism, confirmation, and ordination. An irrevocable change in the state of life.
Cool. Okay. All right. So if you have a question for Bishop Frank, you can send it in on social media, or you can email questions@veritascatholic.com. Bishop Frank Caggiano is on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and so is Veritas Catholic Network. And thank you very much to our sponsor, Foundations in Faith. A grant from the St. Therese Fund for Evangelization makes it possible for us to bring Let Me Be Frank to you. Foundations in Faith is committed to supporting and transforming pastoral ministries in the Diocese of Bridgeport. You can learn more about their outstanding work at foundationsinfaith.org. Big stuff ahead, Excellency.
Yep, Steve, it's good. As always, it's good to chat with you, and it's good to kind of lay out for everyone, please God, what we can accomplish. If we accomplish half of what I outlined, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
So we'll do our best.
Yes. And in the meantime, would you please give us your blessing?
Yes, of course. Of course. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit upon us, upon our listeners, all those entrusted to our care, all those whom we love. Help us to be faithful, joyful, and help us always to do what is your holy will. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, my friends, see you next week.
All right, Excellency, see ya.